Somebody said to me this morning, "You got to be kidding me, they gave you a microphone?" So it is a privilege to be with you this morning to worship our God together. And we're praying for Pastor Marty, right? We're doing that. And then Pastor Tim. And then pray for me. I'm Pastor Chuck. I'm the C-boy. So you pray for me. But it is great to be here. I love hanging with your students. Got a great youth ministry. I love Jonathan Reese is gone, but I spent a lot of time with that young man. And he is blessed by God, and he and his wife, and doing great ministry out in Washington, D.C., where it is much needed. Amen? Yeah. And then you have Ron Kirking, a lovely guy. We pray for his wife, Mistel. It is good. So it's good to be together, to worship our God together. All right, that's enough of all of that. We thank God for who he is and what he's done in singing and praise. And I was speaking at a junior high middle school retreat, which I still do. Some people say, "You got to be kidding me. You speak at those still?" And I'm like, "I love those. You can be you." And I said, "I love doing that." I was out in Sun Valley, Idaho. Anybody been there? Sun Valley, Idaho, beautiful place. Anybody at all? Isn't it beautiful? It's incredible. We were up about 8,500 feet under the stars one night. And I went up to some of the youth leaders and I said, "I'd like to do a concert of prayer with your students." And they said, "That won't work." I said, "Are you saying prayer doesn't work?" And they said, "No, I'm saying they won't work at praying." I said, "Well, what about with God? All things are possible. Maybe God will work in and through them. Maybe they will pray." And they said, "You got to be kidding me. You want to do this with 300 middle school students? You want to pray with them up here at 8,500 feet under the stars? The heavens declare the glory of God." I said, "Absolutely. What better place to pray?" And so we kind of organized it, put it together, and all through the day they said, "They're not going to pray. They're not going to do this. They're not going to pray. They're not going to do this." And that night came, and I organized it, put it together, and gave them some direction from the Word of God. And then we began to pray under the stars, under the glory of the heavens, shooting stars, the majesty of God, the mysteries of God. And then the sun rose. You guys get that? And then the sun rose. We had an all-night prayer meeting with 300 middle schoolers that went through the night at 8,500 feet, praying together, praising, and petitioning God. That was an incredible experience. So I think we can say with God, all things are possible, aren't they? Last week, your pastor, who's filling in here and working through all of this, Marty, he said, "The church that waits on the Lord," and he had a bunch of points. I was in the back sitting listening, and one of the points was, "The church that waits on the Lord is a praying church." Why don't you say that with me? The church that waits on the Lord is a praying church. They pray. They get together and they pray. Now, God gave us through his word, Christ gave us, and his disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And then he gave them the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, let's say together, goes like this: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom," come on, "and the power," come on, "and the glory forever and ever. Amen." So that wasn't quite a concert of prayer, but, and that's really an outline for prayer, but we use it as a prayer. And so we can really say together, we've prayed together corporately as we've worshiped this morning. But a waiting church is a praying church. It's a praying church individually, and it's a praying church corporately. Now, if you got your Bibles, let's run through some of the texts that we looked at last week. We're going to run through a bunch of these texts, starting in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 12. We're going to move right through these. I use the English Standard Version. So if some of you are going, "He's a heretic, what is he preaching from?" I'm using the ESV, not the NIV or the KJVV or the VVVV. I'm using the ESV. So there are a bunch of versions out there. This is the authorized one from heaven. Amen. At least this is what R.C. Sproul uses. So now, here we go. Acts chapter 1. This is the word of the Lord. Let it pierce your hearts this morning. Let it roll around up there in your mind. Let it transform your life. That's what it will do. It says this, Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Now look at verse 14. All these, with one accord, were, could you read that word? Devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They were all there with one accord in that room, and they were, say the word devoting. They were devoting. Say it again. I do these things to make sure you're with me. So they devoted themselves to prayer. You hold that word in your heads. Interesting word, the praying church. The waiting church is a praying church, and that church devotes itself. Devotes itself. It's an interesting word. It's a good word. Now, look at Acts chapter 2, if you would, and look at verse 42, I think it is. It says this. Acts 2, verse 42 says this. And they, you want to read it with me if you've got your Bibles, Acts 2, 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So two texts now in the book of Acts. They devoted to prayer, and they devoted to prayer and to teaching, but the early church prayed. They were a waiting church. God, we want your presence. Remember that from last week? God, we want your direction. But God, we need to pray. And we need to devote ourselves to that exercise, which is an incredible spiritual discipline, duty, and work. It really is. What about Acts chapter 4? In verse 23, it says this. Acts 4 and verse 23 says this. When they were released, the boys had been arrested because they couldn't help speaking about Jesus Christ. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Verse 24, when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Verse 27. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31. Let's read that very first part together. And when they had prayed. Let's do it again. And when they had prayed. Let me finish. The place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God, really God, the gospel, which the church should be centered on. The gospel transforms our lives. And they began to go out and say, we want to tell you about Jesus Christ. They prayed, they were shaken, they were together, and they were bold, and they went out and they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. Prayer is powerful. And God uses it in all of our lives. Here's another text. Look at verse Acts chapter 12 and look at verse 11. All through the book of Acts, they were praying. Acts 12 and look at verse 11. Peter got himself in trouble again because he couldn't keep his mouth shut about Jesus Christ. And so they kept wanting to throw these guys in jail because they openly identified with the gospel. Their lives were centered on the gospel. So Acts chapter 12 and verse 11, Peter had been busted out of jail by an angel. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent an angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting. verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together, read it with me, and were praying. Because you guys get the picture. I mean, the early church, we could go on and go on and go on and go on. And we know all through the epistles, it's taught us to pray without ceasing. And in everything by prayer and supplication, right, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Pray and pray and pray and pray. It's hard work. And yet a church that waits on the Lord, and that's what your sermon was about last week. It was a great sermon. The church that waits on the Lord is a praying church. So how are you guys doing as a praying church? Now, I'm not here to condemn anybody or to be judgmental. I love you guys, and you have blessed my family, and we're grateful to be a part of Crystal Lake Evangelical Free Church. But we're all a part of the body of Christ. And so we need to do some evaluation, some contemplation. If a waiting church is a praying church, then I guess we need to think through how are we doing. But before we go there, let's go here. First of all, Lenski, the great commentator, says that prayer marked all the gatherings of the early church. Prayer marked their gatherings. When they were together, they prayed. There was a spontaneity. There was an outpouring of the work of God in and through their lives. It wasn't ritual and religion. It wasn't program. It wasn't like, let's go through the motions. It was an explosion of the Spirit of God working in and through them that roused the people to pray. They couldn't help themselves. And so Lenski, the great Lutheran commentator, says, when they gathered together, prayer marked their meetings. It is the mark of one who has been transformed by the gospel. But what is it? What is prayer? It'd be interesting if I came down and just did a little bit of one of those talk show TV shows, kind of walked through and said with a microphone, what do you think prayer is? And what do you think prayer is? It'd be interesting to see all the different, perhaps, opinions and thoughts about what is prayer. What is it? Is it the Lord's Prayer? Is that it? It's a good outline for prayer, and really, if you look through it, it's a great prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we hallow your name. We praise your name. John MacArthur did a series several years ago, and I think he did about 25 cassette tapes, 45 minutes long, on the Lord's Prayer. That's a lot of preaching on the Lord's Prayer. I'm not sure the church in America would want that today, but it was good. But what is it? What is prayer? First, that's really what I want to think of. First of all, what is it? Is it the Lord's Prayer? Is it the table prayer? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. Amen. Let's chow down right now. And some of you going, I can't wait till later to do that. Get to your favorite restaurant. Get home and get the food. You want to do that. Can't get Chick-fil-A on Sundays. Not in Crystal Lake. They're praying somewhere. Is it that nighttime prayer we learned as kids? No, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Is that prayer? Well, yeah, it's a form of it. It's a type of it, but really, what is it? Here, some thoughts for you from 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Let's go back. 1828, yeah, this is the real deal. We have morphed and evolved in our etymology. Webster says, this is back when we were thinking better, truly thinking better. Webster says, the prayer is this, it's the act of asking God for a favor. Come on now, let's face it. A lot of us daily are asking God for favors. God, get me out of bed. God, let me stay awake at work. God, let me love that person and not hurt them. A lot of favors. God, don't let that policeman stop me. Even though I know I'm a lawbreaker. Goes on and says this, the act of asking God for a favor with earnestness And then he goes on and says, and adoring God for his perfections. I like it. You like it? That's Webster. It's good. Calvin says this. I like John Calvin. He's had a bad rap throughout the years. He's a good guy. Yeah, he is. He really is. We could talk about that another time if you ever let me come back. Here we go. John Calvin said this about what prayer is. What is it? It's nothing else than the opening up of our heart before God. It's the offspring of faith. It's the child that is birthed by the Spirit of God in our lives that cries out, like in the book of Galatians, Abba God, Papa Father, I need a favor, I give you adoration. You are the Holy One of heaven. It explodes out of us. It's breathing out and breathing in. Charles Spurgeon said this. I'm doing better. You like me more now with Spurgeon. Calvin, some of you went, ah. And then now Spurgeon, oh, he's a Baptist guy. Here, Spurgeon. Spurgeon said this. Prayer, it is work so difficult that it must be commanded by the Godhead. It is work that's so difficult that it must be commanded. It's work. Pray without ceasing. That's a command. Do it. You're supposed to do it. It's commanded. You know, Spurgeon had an incredible church, Metropolitan Tabernacle over there on the other side of the ocean, and lots of people came while Spurgeon preached, and they would come to hear him preach, and then they would come and take tours through the church building. Oh, wow, look at that. That's incredible. Oh, that's where the great preacher preaches, the prince of preachers, and then they would walk through and see everything, and then the tour guide would say, let me show you what keeps our church hot. Have you heard this story? So then he would walk them downstairs and take them to these big doors, and all the people would whisper, that's the boiler room. That's where the furnaces are. That's the boiler room. They're going to show us this great room that keeps everything hot, keeps it warm so the people can worship. And they open the doors, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on their faces before God, were parishioners from that Metropolitan Tabernacle, 24/7, 365, on their faces, petitioning and praising and pouring out their hearts before God that he would move in that great city of London and bring revival to people's lives and regeneration, and the gospel would move through that nation. And then the praying stopped and the church died. Spurgeon was gone. John Bunyan says, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, you can do more than pray. You can do more than pray. But then he adds this, after you've prayed. But you cannot do more until you have prayed. That's a tinker's tongue-twisting comments. Because, you know, he was a tinker. He says this, let me give it to you again. He says, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more until you have prayed. And so therefore, we got to be about prayer if we want to see God move. And a waiting church is a church that is a praying church and is devoted, and we open our hearts before God and we pour them out, and it's an act of obedience, and we're devoted to it. See, if you go back to Acts chapter 1 again, if you look at that just real quickly. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 14, it says again, all these were with one accord. They were there with one accord. They were all together. There was a unanimity of mind. They were gospel-centered. They'd been transformed by Christ, and they were devoting themselves to prayer, the opening of their hearts. The pleading before the heavens, begging God for favors, waiting upon the throne of the heavens to move. The word devote is an interesting word. It means to solemnly set apart or to dedicate oneself. It even has a strong meaning of addiction. It's really an interesting word etymologically if you follow it. It means to be really addicted to something. These people, the early church, while they waited upon God, they were addicted to prayer. They had to have prayer. It was a part of their lives. It was like their favorite little food. Had to have it. Praying people. In the Greek, it would be something like this. It was this devoted was a strong expression. Strong expression of continued perseverance, praising, petitioning, pleading. It was a part of their lives. And it was commanded. I remember as a little boy, my sister was devoted to praying. And we would have dinner, you know, and then we'd get through dinner. My dad would do family altar. And we would sit together, and we would read the Bible. And then we would sing together and read Pilgrim's Progress. And then we would pray a little bit. And every night, my sister devoted herself solemnly. She pleaded for this incredible favor before God. She wanted a horse. Now, we lived in Chicago, on Central Park Avenue, down by Logan Square. My sister was 5 years older than me. I was a little boy, and I wasn't. I just sat there going in my head, God, I don't know where this horse is going to go, but it's not going in my bedroom. But I mean, she prayed. My sister would sit there and she would pray and she would say, I want this. God, I want this favor. And she would actually break into tears. I want this horse. Thank God he didn't answer that one. But he did answer my prayer because we never got the horse, right? Did you know you can pray against one another? No. So what is prayer? I mean, well, you know, we're opening up. So, you know, when I was said, hey, could you come and speak on prayer? I'm like, well, can we, like, go until Monday morning? I mean, how do you do this? This is a monstrous task. And it is really pretty simple. So I'm really just asking you to think about it again. I'm not condemning anybody. Just think about it. How's your devotion to it? You see, they were devoted because they were dependent. And in their dependency, they expressed dynamic devotion. Did you get that? That should really be up on PowerPoint somewhere, but we didn't have time to get that done. They were devoted because they were dependent. Dependent on who? Dependent on God for all things. And so therefore, they express themselves dynamically. Absolute devotion. John MacArthur says this. MacArthur says this about the early church, the waiting church. The first fellowship was eagerly and persistently engaged in the critical duty of prayer. Acts 1:14, they were with one accord and they devoted themselves. Devoted. He says, prayer is that, this is really good, listen to this. Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. That's a mystery in itself. Sadly, prayer is much neglected in the church today. Programs, concerts, entertainment draw the large crowds. Let me read it again. MacArthur says, if you got a good program, if you got a concert with some entertainment, it'll draw the crowds. But you want to hold a prayer meeting and say, let's get together, how many show up? He says this, prayer meetings only attract the faithful few. And then he ends with this. That is undoubtedly the reason for much of the weakness in the contemporary church in the United States of America. We can't get people together on a national day of prayer. I mean, we'll say, hey, I'm going to a prayer breakfast. What are you going to do? Well, we've got a speaker coming in who's going to entertain us, and somebody may pray. We're going to get together and pray for a little bit. We're going to have a concert. I remember when Moody Church was having concerts of prayer. Do you remember that? Big concerts of prayer. And they would say over the radio, come pray with us and be led by Dr. James Dobson. Come pray with us and be led by Johnny Erickson Tata. Come pray with us and be led by, you know, Fernando Ortega. Come pray with us and be led by Chuck Swindoll. Come pray with us and be... And they named all of the Christian celebrities. And so it was packed out. Why were they there? Were they there to pray? Were they there to be led and see the celebrities of evangelicalism? What if it would have been this? Come pray and be led by Chuck Beckler. He's some weirdo up in McHenry. Why are you laughing? What about this? What about if we, you know, I just picked out one of your names and we put that on the radio and said, come pray with us at Moody Church and be led by blah, 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 blah. Who's going to show up? I'm telling you, if you put the all-star team together of evangelicalism, you can sell tickets and you'll pack it out because we want to be led in prayer by the stars of the church. What is wrong with us? The star of the church is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we don't need any other stars. It's enough for us to walk through these doors and with great grace and great homage come before the Father in heaven and give him adoration. We don't need the stars. We don't need a great preacher. We don't need great sermons. We need hearts devoted, dependent, with great devotion, dynamic, pleading before the Godhead. Help us to be like Christ. See, I'm convinced the early church understood prayer, that it was essential for their spiritual life. That's why Acts says they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. I mean, they went after this. I always thought I was a pretty good prayer. I thought. And then one day a guy, when I was a youth pastor, one of the guys in the church showed up in my office, and he just kind of burst through the door. And he grabbed me by the back of my neck like I was a little puppy. And he jerked me back, and he was kind of a big guy. He was a black belt karate expert. And he almost lifted me up with the pressure point out of my seat. And then he laid me down on the floor. And he put his knee in my back. He said, Beckler, you need to learn how to pray. You don't pray enough. I said, get off my back. He said, ask God to get me off. Pray. And so I prayed. And he would come to my office every week. And that man who loved me enough said, I want to help you learn to be devoted to prayer. I need to pray, you guys. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep? Help me. How many? How many? Yeah. How many really got inside? You know, I used to get angry. You know, God, I got a bunch to do. You better let me sleep. I'll mess up. Yeah. And throughout the years, the Spirit of God has taught me, Chuck, will you quit complaining? We just sang that beautiful song. God would wake me up. See, I never understood that. God would wake me up instead of me fighting him. I just need to pray. How do I pray? How do I do that? Well, I could use the Lord's Prayer. Pray, plead. So, why do we do this? Remember I said this is a monstrous topic. But why do we do this? I've got a couple of thoughts that you can go home and you can mess with just quickly here. I can't explain all of this. But why do we do this? Why do we pray? A couple of thoughts for you to talk about over lunch together. And you can talk about the thoughts. Don't talk about me. Some of you will say, what was wrong with that man this morning? I have issues. So pray for me. If nothing else, you're going to walk out this morning and go, what did he talk about? All you have to do is say. All you have to do is say. That's it. You don't even have to remember who I am. Just that guy spoke about prayer. So here you go. Why should we talked a little bit about what it is. Why should we do this? Well, first of all, it was modeled by Christ for all of us. Yay or nay? All right, so I'm thinking this. If Christ is the head of the church, and he is like the ultimate, he is the model for us, the mentor of all of us. If he modeled this for us, then therefore I should pattern my life after his. It should be good enough. If Christ modeled it, first of all, why should I pray? He modeled it. The boys even said, Jesus, what are you doing all the time? He was praying. They said, will you teach us to do this? And you can see that it carried over into the book of Acts. They modeled what they were taught by their mentor, Christ. And so we should model our lives. It's enough. Why should we pray? It was modeled for us by Christ. So think about that. And then maybe go back and look through the Gospels and look at some of the examples of how he modeled it for us, which we don't have time to do this morning. Secondly, here you go. Secondly, it was modeled by the early Christians. I love history. You know, if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going, right? So you go back and you say, okay, this makes logical sense to me. If it was modeled by the head of the church, I guess it's very important. Secondly, if it was modeled by those who were the early church, the Christians, and that's what they did, that was the pattern, then I believe it should be the pattern for my life and my family and the body of Christ at Crystal Lake Free Church. Somehow we've got to organize that, intentionalize that into our belief system. Well, we believe it, but doing it. Got to do it. When Doug asked me to come preach, and he said, we're going to do prayer, and I said, what about if I don't preach? What about if we just pray? He said, you wouldn't do that, would you? And I said, well, why not? What if I would have got up and said, I'm not preaching on prayer, let's just pray. Okay, just find like five people and break up. Some of you would have gone, oh. Some of you would have really put you out of your comfort zone. What if I would have said, let's not just talk about it, let's do prayer. Let's just do it. Let's pray together. In fact, I loved it when Marty said last week that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, some of you after he was done preaching, some of you when he was done, you just spontaneously gathered together in this room and continued to pray. Wouldn't it be incredible if the group that was coming at 10:45 could not get in the doors because we were still in here praying? They'd be going, what's going on? The program is out of order. That guy speaking must have gone too long. We've messed things up here. No. God has moved in our midst, and we are on our faces before the God of our heavens, petitioning and praying. And maybe we'll see the sunrise tomorrow. Number three, think about this. Why do this? Because I believe prayer molds us into Christ-likeness. What do you think? What do you think? Someone said prayer does nothing to change God. It does everything to do what? Change me. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will, thy kingdom. Change my life. You know, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We always want to go, no, it's the person on the other side of the building. No. Why pray? Modeled by Christ, why pray? Modeled by the early church, our heritage, why pray? It molds Chuck Beckler into Christ-likeness. And you and I both know Chuck Beckler needs Christ-likeness. And so do you. And so we pray. I was flying home. I was speaking somewhere. I used to travel 250 days a year speaking. And I was flying home from somewhere. I was really tired. So I asked, this is when you could get whole rows to fly. You know, you get the whole row. So I asked the flight attendant, could I get a whole row and just kind of go to sleep? And they're like, yeah. And we were kind of up towards the bulkhead. So I got this row and I was sleeping. I was all excited, sleeping, going home, and had a great time speaking. And then something woke me up. I heard some noises. Startled me. So I kind of came out of my sleep and I thought, man, what is that behind me? All these sounds. It sounded like someone was groaning and hurting and, oh, making all kinds of disgusting noises. Sounded like somebody was really almost getting sick. So I peeked over my shoulder and I saw this little Oriental man behind me. And he was just going, whoa. I'm not making fun. True story. I was speaking somewhere and somebody said, you should not make fun of people. This is just true story. He's groaning and, and I really thought, oh, man, he must have eaten the plain food. He's sick. So I thought I'd give him some Tums. So I grabbed down my bag, got some Tums, and leaned over, and I said, hey, would you like some Tums? Are you feeling okay? And then he looked at me, just looked right in my eyes, and he began to beat his chest, and he said this over and over. He said, pasta, pasta, pasta. And I said, ooh, you ate the spaghetti. It got you. Pasta, pasta. I thought, man, he's really got indigestion. He's hurting. I said, yeah, here, have some Tums. He said, no, pasta. I said, I don't quite understand. He said, I am a pastor. I said, oh, he put the R on a little bit. I said, you're a pastor. Well, you still need Tums. Pastors eat lots of Tums. You know? And I said, well, that's great. And so we talked for a little bit, and he told me his story and everything. And he said that he was a missionary from Korea. Listen carefully now. He was a missionary from Korea in the United States to bring the gospel to the country that had brought them the gospel and who now desperately needed the gospel and to get back to praying, and he was here to help us do that. I didn't like that. I'm like, wait a minute. We send people. We have missions conferences. We go there, so send I you. We do that. You don't do that. I said, you got to be kidding me. You're a missionary here because we need the gospel. He said, we've come because we want to help the church. The church has become dead. The church has become confused. The church has lost its first love. Church needs help. And then he looked at me, and he said, oh, are you a Christian? I thought, he's going to evangelize me. No, I really didn't like him. But he didn't know me. And I said, I am. I am a Christian. And then the guy lost it. He had a worship celebration at 35,000 feet that was incredible. He threw up his arms and almost knocked the guy off the road. He started shouting over and over, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And I grabbed his arms and said, put him down, man. They don't like that stuff here. So we talked for a while. Plane landed. And it was kind of full towards the back. And so I got up to get off. And he got up to go out. And then he stopped right next to me. And he looked down at me. And people were kind of up here now pushing to get off the plane. And he looked at me and bent his head down. And then he started making those noises again. Head bowed. Oh. And I'm looking at him going, what is wrong with this man? And he went, oh. I hope this is not on camera. People will say, don't go to that church. They have a madman in the pulpit. And then he kept going on. And I'm going, little man, you better get done. You could hear the four-letter words of encouragement coming from the back of the plane. I'm going, you got to stop. But he was so devoted and so dependent upon God, and prayer was a part of his life. He understood what it was because he understood who he was. He understood, you know, why he needed to do this and how to do it. Anytime, anywhere, any place, anyhow, plead. So finally he looked up. I said, what were you doing? He said, I was praying for you. I will never forget that. He stopped the world at O'Hare Airport on that plane for 5 minutes. People were pushing and shoving, and he was praying. He taught me an incredible lesson. Oh, God, help me as I wait on you to be devoted because I'm dependent. And in my dependency, express dynamic devotion to prayer because I need your touch. It is my life. It's everything. Sweetheart prayer. Sweetheart? No. Sweet every moment of prayer. Remember that song? You're always on my mind. Oh, God, you are always on my mind. Our grandson, Travis, was having surgery last year, 9 years old. We were driving up to Milwaukee to Children's. I said, Jonathan, do we need to be there early? He said, no. He goes, I think it's okay. I said, well, Travis, does he want me to pray? He goes, I think it's okay, Dad. I said, all right. So we're driving up 43, and all of a sudden our cell phone rang. He said, Dad, get here now. I said, why? He goes, Travis said, I'm not going in unless Papa prays. 9 years old. 9 years old. I'm not going. So I start speeding. I'm going, I got to get there. I'm going, what do I say if the state police stop me? My grandson's going into surgery. He needs me to pray. Think he'd let me go? I didn't speed, but we got there. And that little face looked up. Papa, pray. Papa, pray. And I prayed. And I wept. I am so dependent on God for all things. Every breath I take, every move I make, every step, every action. It is love, it is His mercy and grace that has saved me. I have so much to pray about and thank Him for. What is it? The pouring out of my heart, just like Hannah, right? Why? Because I'm dependent. And it was modeled by my Savior, modeled by my friends 2,000 years ago. Modeled by many in Korea for us. Why? It makes me like Jesus. I need to be like Jesus. My wife really thinks so. She loves me, but she prays for me. I hope this morning, it is a great gift. I don't want you to walk out going, man, I feel so miserable. It is a great gift to be in communion with the Godhead. Will you enjoy that gift? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate your words of encouragement, and want to encourage each of you as you go home today to have that conversation, to talk about prayer. And as you are talking about it, I encourage you to just do it. And one topic for us right now is for our church and where we're at. Yes, pray for yourselves and the situations you find yourself in, but please remember our church. This is an important time for us as we continue on, as we are looking for our next senior pastor, and I pray that you would be in prayer and remembering our leadership in the days ahead. So let's stand together as we commit ourselves to the task which we've been challenged to.